You're listening to the All Elite Podcast, your favorite AEW fan podcast for in-depth analysis and discussions about the number one growing brand in professional wrestling today, All Elite Wrestling. This podcast is broadcast live on YouTube, Facebook Live, and Twitch on behalf of the No Holds Barred Network. The network is your source for wrestling interviews and podcast content featuring independent wrestling and AEW. Also, make sure to hit that like button and subscribe to the channel. So sit back, relax, and interact in the live chat. Enjoy the show. What's going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome back to the All Elite Podcast right here on the No Holds Barred Network, your source for all wrestling podcast content and more. I am your host, as always, your self-proclaimed greatest host, Kyle Masters, and I'm always joined by my co-host. She is the woman of many nicknames. She is the EVP Giggles, the heartbreak chick, the queen of the indies herself. That's Tiffany. And today, Tiff, guess what?
What?
We're joined by a third.
Really?
Yes. We're having guests.
Are you
this
sure?
This is like guest month here in February because we have a couple lined up for Revolution 2. But joining us today is Maria Rose. How is it going, Maria?
It's going good.
Say
how are
hi
you?
To our podcast listeners.
Hello, everyone.
So, guys, if you don't know and you're not following Maria, please go follow her. I've put her Twitter handle down in the description of the YouTube version of this podcast, so make sure you go give her a follow. She is probably the biggest MJF fan you're ever going to meet.
Yes.
Yeah. Maybe one of them. Next to his scarf. I don't know.
Oh, don't MJF know, like, scarf. That guy.
Is there going to be like a belt or something like that that's out there that's between you two? Or are you going to like fight for his love or something?
Me and his scarf.
Yeah.
Do you think that I'm gonna win over the scarf?
I don't know.
His prized possession.
Yikes.
I don't know.
I'm not putting my money on that. I'm sorry. It's just me, but I'm gonna go with Scarfy there. He's
I have to go with Scarf too.
Wow.
And shout out to him. He's a big fan of our podcast. He's awesome. He always sends us stuff. I'm always talking to him in the DMs. He's pretty
peeps.
Crazy. Yeah, he's good peeps. But guys, if you're new, welcome to the All Elite Podcast. It's usually where myself and Tiff, but today we're joined by a guest. We talk about everything in that AEW world, from BTE to Dark to anything that's happening in AEW, and especially AEW Dynamite. We like to have fun and positive discussions here and go pretty in-depth. So if you guys are in the live chats, whether you're on Facebook, Twitch, or YouTube, make sure you're interacting with everybody in there. We like to keep it fun, like to keep it positive, so welcome to the podcast. And today, again, we have a third to kind of play off of here today, and it's been another, like I said it last week's, on last week's episode, it was Tiff, do you have an intro song? Do you want me to let you play your theme song here? What's going on?
Sorry.
Are you trying to introduce yourself to a theme song? What's happening? We have a guest here.
Sorry, okay, like, you know, with the new computer and everything, I'm trying to log in on one computer everything so we can chat with everybody, and like, sorry.
The new computer excuse.
The new computer.
It's the music, too.
My bad. Continue, Kyle.
I even know where I was. AEW, probably something to do with that since we are an AEW podcast.
Is it an AEW podcast?
I don't know, could be.
I hope so, because if it's any other one, I shouldn't be on it.
I thought it was the MJF podcast.
Oh, no,
fair.
I don't know. Sign me out.
Okay, cool.
Again, like I said before, we're live. If you're in the chat, interact with everybody in the chat. Hello to all the peeps in the chat. I see Bert. I see our girl. I was going to say April. Beating faces, but April. I read her name out. our well-known fan, Ooh Kilroy. Conrad from Everything's Pro Wrestling Podcast. What's going on, guys? Thank you for tuning in. If you are watching back on YouTube, thank you for watching back. If you are one of our many download audio listeners, thank you for downloading the episode. And if you guys don't know, we are available on audio platforms here on the network, which the All Elite Podcast is a part of. And that is the No Holds Barred Network. We're available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, bunch of other ones, stuff like Anchor, CastBox, wherever you're getting your podcast. Make sure you search up the No Holds Barred Network. You will get the All Elite Podcast, and you'll get all the amazing other podcasts, ones that Tiffany does. She does a lot of independent wrestling interviews. She does indie talks where she just talks about the independent shows she goes to, anything happening in the independent scene. She also has Wrestle Forum, which normally that's where we have like the third rotating guest, and we kind of talk about them. But, you know, today we have Maria joining us talking about AEW mostly. So go check that out. Make sure you are checking out the audio platforms. If you are an Apple Podcast listener, make sure you're giving us a generous 5-star rating. You leave us a comment. Let us know what you think of the podcast. It helps us in the chartable side of things. And lastly, but certainly not least, our buddy Darren from This Wolf with the song Dead to Me is our official theme song you heard in the intro to this podcast. He lets us use that song each and every single week. Darren, you are amazing. You're doing great work with Go Pro Wrestling right now. Keep up the good work, and thank you for letting us use that song. It is an amazing song, guys. Go check out Darren and support his music. Very, very underrated artist when it comes to a lot of songs. He actually does the cover to MJF's theme, which I tagged Maria in. Maria, did you have a chance to listen to that?
I did. It's awesome.
it's insane, and it's crazy. Yeah. I'm not sure what came of it, but apparently he was reached out to by MJF. So
yeah,
let's just keep it at
that. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Good for him.
Keep that song in the back of your head. You might be hearing it in another day. So
I think you should make that your ringtone.
Who, me or Kyle?
Yeah, you.
Me?
Yeah.
Maybe I should.
Ringtones. Oh, man. Do you remember back in the day when like ringtones were like the most expensive thing in the world?
Some of them still are, though. Like sometimes you gotta like download it. Like I get mad.
Don't buy ringtones. You can't. You're not this day and age. You can't. There's so many ways to get free ringtones. There's no way people are buying.
It's still a thing?
Yeah, it's still a thing that like some of them you have to like pay to make a ringtone.
Stop.
I swear.
I would unsubscribe, Tiff. Man, if that's you,
I don't have it. Okay? I have like best friends played on mine. Okay, like. Yeah.
Seriously. Oh, mine's Kenny Omega, obviously. Duh.
Better than you, MJ.
Okay. I see how this podcast is going to go.
Oh, yeah.
No!
Anywho, Rihu, let's get it. Let's dive into some AEW. So around the AEW world, we'll start off with that like we always do.
All right.
Really not much. BT, we'll kind of just briefly go over because Marie didn't catch this a week's episode, but... Maria, I suggest you go back and watch it because the part with the Valentine's Day cards with the Dark Order was probably the funniest thing I've ever seen. So they're all in the Dark Order room, which is that it's that one room if you're looking towards the crowd in the Daily's place, all the way to the right, like that door where Sting and Darby came out of that one episode of Dynamite. So that room right there is actually the Dark Order's room in BTE. So it's like a little like lounge area. So that they're all in there making Valentine's Day cards and and they're reading them out. So Stu Grayson, they didn't reveal who it was for, but Stu Grayson read his out. He put, "You push hard, you pull hard, you are hard, and so am I."
What?
Yeah. And everyone thought it was like the best thing. They're like comparing to like the greatest writers of all time. And then Evil Uno said he's got to read his.
Poetry emotion.
And his was, "You've got some juicy thighs. Will you be my Valentine?"
Who was that for?
So you don't find out until later in the episode. And then they're all making fun of Five because his was so lame. And they always make fun of Five on BT. It's a thing. So later on, they're all ready to go hand it out. And, in the back of your head, you're thinking it's Anna because Anna wasn't there in the beginning. So Anna shows up and they're all staring at Anna and they're like, "Anna, get the fuck out of the way." And they push her out of the way. And Wardlow is standing there out of all people. And they all one at a time hand the cards out and he's all thanking them. And they're all like blushing and like being like shy little kids.
That's great.
I mean, Wardlow is a good looking guy. Like,
oh yes,
I don't blame him, you know?
He's all right. He's like, I think I'm like five. No, he's good looking.
Listen, I think it was one of the episodes, I swear to God, from the back, it looked, no, it was, I think, an episode of Dynamite. I was like, it looks like Marty Skrull from the back.
Oh, he's got like that haircut. Yeah.
Yeah. Man bun, and then the little coat that was going on that
I can't
wearing.
Grow a man bun because I got nothing up top. So, like, that doesn't concern me. But you know what? I never heard him talk before. He talked in this.
Yeah.
And he sounds, I'm sorry, and it's, I'm going to compare it. He sounds exactly like Roman Reigns, like literally doppelganger voice. Like, sound exactly. If you go back and watch and you listen to him talk, you're going to be like, okay, yeah, I hear it. And I wonder if you guys in the chat, let us know, because I heard Roman when he was talking. But so Five tries to give it to Wardlow, and Wardlow's like, where's my card? And Five's like, you know, you're not my type. So it's actually for Hangman. So he tried to give it to Hangman. There's a skit where he in on BT was trying to give it to Hangman. And Hangman says, like, no, man, you guys don't need me in the Dark Order. I'm not, you guys don't need me. You guys are doing fine on your own. So then he leaves the card for Hangman, and they're doing this whole skit, you know, you've seen on Dynamite with Matt Hardy and Hangman. But the skit on BT between those two is like, Matt Hardy's like in love with Hangman, and Matt Hardy finds the Valentine's Day card on Hangman's chair.
Yep. And then rips
he
it up.
He get angry. And, yeah, he rips it up. Say.
He rips it up. I like the part, though, where... what's it called? Anna gave Stu the Valentine's card.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, are we going to, is that, like, eventually going to happen? Is, like, Anna and Stu going
to,
like.
That's the thing, too, on BT. Like, Anna is so mean to Stu Grayson all the time.
Yeah. So I'm wondering if, like, that's going to be the end goal. So I don't know.
Well, I mean, she's dating 10, so, you know.
Well.
We'll see.
We'll see what happens here. Yeah. But it's a whole storyline. But. I don't know.
Yeah,
I'm kind of sad.
That,
I didn't get
life,
a Valentine's Day. I'm kind of sad. I didn't get a Valentine's Day card from Dark Order. I feel attacked.
Aw.
You?
Maria didn't get one from MJF. I'm sure she's attacked.
Does he
I wonder what it would say.
Does he even give out cards?
Jump off a cliff, please.
Maria, let me tell you, though, because you're like the biggest MJF fan. And, you know, when I used to watch him in the indies before he got signed with AEW when he was like 18 years old, and I used to heckle the shit out of him at like the SWA shows and shit like that. Like, it was funny. So the shit I would give him.
Did he give it right back to you?
Of course he did. Of course he did. Of course.
Wait,
he did.
You were at the show with the kid, right?
Oh my God. Yeah. Okay. So
he gave the kid the finger. Is this the one where you give the kid the finger?
He took the scarf. From the kid.
No, this was like
the kid
in the
must
crowd.
Have been like 10 years old, you know, and he was at, you know, he was like in front of me, and this was a Capital Wrestling Creative Pro. I'm sorry, Creative Pro. There's too many freaking promotions. Okay. Creative Pro, and the kid's in front of me, and he's got the scarf around him, and MJF comes out, and then all of a sudden he rips the scarf off and he spits on it and throws it back at the kid. And, like, the kid's face, I swear, was dropped. And he was so upset that he walked over to his dad, hysterical crying. I wanted to go over and give him a hug. Like, that video went viral, like, because I posted it up on Twitter. It went, like, viral, and he retweeted it. And he was like, he deserved it or something. And I'm like, oh, my God.
I know the story she's talking about, though, with the kid at the signing. Then he gave a finger to, and the dad got all upset and tried to the tweet about it. And, like, come on, man. Like, you should know what you're getting your kid into.
Listen, I've had my fair share of MJF interactions. None of them were nice. And going to meet him at StarCast, it came kind of with a little warning on it. Like, basically, like, you're not responsible for what you get from him.
Yeah.
You know what you're getting into when you at him on Twitter, when you go in his DMs, you know, you're looking to get roasted 100%. And you better have some thick skin if you're going to meet him or interact with him.
It's funny you said the StarCast thing, because small world, we are obviously, me and Tiff and you were there. We just didn't know each other at the time. But that's know how Cutler was above, like, the steps in front of MJF? Like, it went the steps above, and they're like a little platform. Yeah. So me and Tiff were up there with Cutler because we had this whole thing with Cutler, and we're, you know, we were talking about it, and we were sitting there chilling with him, and then we were like heckling MJF from the top. Yeah. There
even like time. Brandon Cutler was like heckling him too. It was great.
Oh, Cutler's a gem.
I mean, I like trolling him. I've stopped for a while, but it's fun. Like, and you know, he's obviously not offended by your trolling because he's gonna troll you right back.
He can take. He can take.
Fun. Oh yeah, if you can, you know, you have to like be able to dish it, you know, like back. You know, you got to just be ready for it because it's coming with him. But yeah, I told the story on under the ropes the other day. I had GoPro Wrestling on with us, and we were talking about MJF a little bit, and I was telling the story how he signed one of my friends' pictures, and he's like, "What's your name?" He's like, "Dipshit." And he's like, and then he signed it to Dipshit. And I was just sitting there like dying. And the guy was like so upset. And I was like, dude.
See, I saw Maria's video when she posted the one from StarCast and what he wrote on it.
Yeah, that was fun. I was not expecting it, but kind of expecting it to whore. I still have it somewhere. I'm like, do I show my son this? I don't think I can.
I just love he stays in character. He never, ever, ever breaks character. And that's a gem to find right there.
Yeah, I love it.
And you know what? Like, you get a lot of, I personally got a lot of backlash for being his fan and the interactions. People were like, oh, you let him disrespect you like that. And I'm like, it's fake, right?
I don't know.
That's how I'm processing it. Like, I'm in playing along. I don't know.
Yeah, I think people don't realize, like, I've gotten that too. Like, in indies, I've been called like certain names, and the funny thing is like, I personally know like a lot of people, like they know me, like they've been on the podcast and stuff like that, so like they know, and I know what to expect. And I think people take a lot of it to heart, where, you know, like I've had people come up to me and they're like, did they just say this to you? I'm like, yeah, sorry. Yeah. Like, I know where it's coming from. Like, you got to remember, it's a character they're playing. Like, they're not, you know, with me, like, I can't go and take it too personal because obviously they know who I am. So, but just like you said, there's a little disclaimer. And I can't believe people pay $500 to go meet them and stuff like that.
Or the cameo.
Our cast.
The cameo is wild.
Yeah. I would not pay for that. Absolutely not.
I asked someone if they would buy me the cameo. They said, no, go get a tattoo instead. So I did. I took the money.
There you go.
But yeah, I had no sympathy for that dad and his son. Like, zero. I was like, that's your fault, man.
No, none.
You got to know. You know, like, you got to know. And like you said, there's a disclaimer. So you have to know. You can't get, like, bent out of shape with it. So read the fine print. You know, some people, you know, obviously are reading the fine print with even Matt Hardy.
Does that guy not know who MJF was? Like, the dad? Like, how'd you not know? Like, why did you let your son even meet him?
Right. At such a young age.
See?
I don't know. I wouldn't bring my son's 15. I don't think.
If I had my son, like, I don't. But if I had a son and I'm going around and I didn't know who that wrestler was, you know, I could probably tell by just looking and getting the vibes. Okay, he's that type of wrestler. So I'm not going to let my small son, who's probably going to take offense to that, and go meet him. I'm going to go meet, you know, the big baby face wrestler in the corner that everyone wants to go line up and see. Like,
right.
Yep.
Anyways. Other than that, BT was fine this week. It was great. It's funny. Other than that, around the AEW world, the Acclaim released a music video, which I thought was pretty funny. Those two are gaining a lot of popularity, but they're still getting mixed reviews I've seen from wrestling Twitter. So I think eventually they'll get over. I think maybe when there's crowd.
As
far as their wrestling abilities, because I thought they did a pretty good job.
Yeah. I think a lot of people aren't liking the characters. Maybe they're not liking the rapping. But, you know, like I tell everybody else, we were not even a huge fan in the beginning of a lot of things like the Dark Order. And look where they are now. So I have faith in AEW that if built correctly, they can be really over. Just give it, you know, give it some time. You know?
And they're working in a pandemic. Like, can you imagine if they debuted with the crowd? I guarantee you they'd be a lot more over right now than they currently are if there was a regular traveling crowd. But the music video was great. Basically, like, an Inner Circle diss. The lyrics at the beginning, the guy was, like, reading to the doctor, like, the first couple lyrics to to Judas. And then I think it's Max Caster, the other guy. He was like, I don't even know the lyrics to Judas. it was great. If you guys haven't seen it, go on their Twitter account and watch it.
And shout out to GoPro Wrestling because they filmed that. So
they did.
Yes, yes.
Oh, we our boys about at GoPro. You just interviewed them on Under the Ropes.
Yeah. So guys, like after this, go check out that interview if you didn't on Under the Rope series on the Holds Barred Network. So I just had Darren and Michael and Frank on, and they talked a little bit about that as well.
Other than that, if you're a big fan of micro brawlers, because I know these are like very popular with the collective industry and the fig world, but AEW's Wave 1 of micro brawlers is actually open for pre-orders from the 10th of February, so yesterday, till the 18th. $17.99 plus shipping for each. They have Darby advertised there, Brody Lee, Jericho, Moxley, Orange Cassidy, and Sheeta.
Yeah,
those look pretty cool. I mean, I'm not into them, but
I have an MJF one that came. Remember when I did the unboxing? Yes, remember when I did the unboxing, the Pro Crate that they did the original AEW?
Right.
So that's on the network too. That I did the unboxing for you guys. That it came in. It came with a Britt Baker toothbrush. Came with two shirts. Like, and it came with the MJF, micro brawler. So I have one of like the originals.
That's cool. That's so cool.
Yeah, that is cool.
Out of the net, also Dark. I watched Dark. Like, I kind of skimmed through it this week. Usually I try to catch it because it's Dark is such a cool platform because it's the platform that's giving work to all these independent wrestlers that are stuck in Florida that can't really get independent work around the United States right now because of the pandemic. So I love seeing it, and you never know, like some of these guys could get signed eventually, like Lee Johnson, the big story with him now getting signed with AEW. You never know who from that crop of talent there is going to get signed. I look at now the Hollywood, what they call them? The Varsity Blondes with, Pillman Jr. now. And, was it Griff Garrison? So it's always good to watch Dark and watch people grow on there. From what I got this week, there's a match actually between Ten and this guy named Baron Blade, and apparently they have like this long history in the indies of facing each other, and it was pretty cool to see them. Like, they made a big deal about it on AEW Dark. The one thing I've noticed on Dark lately though is the commentary team has like way too much fun. Like, they're half the time they're not even commentating the match. Like, they're just they're ripping on each other, or they're just like making fun of something and laughing together. And it's Taz, Excalibur, and they always have like a rotating third depending on what match it is. I just noticed like they just halftime they're not even paying attention to the match, and like Excalibur will jump back to it half lapping, like talking about a move. This is something I noticed though. I haven't noticed if they're doing this on Dynamite, but I'll put it up on the screen for everybody. They started putting the ranking numbers on people's names in the match card screen. That's so, like, big sports thing. Like, that's like a USC thing. Because, like, you know how Tony Khan wants AEW to feel more big sports feel and more sports feel than anything else? They've started putting the rankings now on the names on Dark. I don't know if that's going to transition over to Dynamite because I haven't seen that yet. But they started doing it. And I kind of like it. It adds a pretty cool kind of picture to it, and again, you get that fight feel. It kind of looks like UFC style where they have the rankings next to the people's names,
right?
But
right.
I've noticed they started doing that now, which I saw it against Red Velvet.
It's kind of smart, like if you're gonna implement that, and you know, makes sense because right, a lot of us were complaining about the rankings. We're like, okay, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah, they've been following them some weeks, and then some weeks they kind of like forget and they'll give a random person a title shot, and it's like, okay, but what about the rankings? Like, you release them every week. At rest of it, I mean, I saw Swole riding on an electric scooter, which is pretty funny. Jack Evans was wearing the Maria design shirt, so our girl Maria Ling, who makes all those crazy designs and have made a few designs that are on AEW shop right now. We interviewed her. She's a good friend of ours now. She's awesome. Jack Evans is wearing that shirt the entire match, which is pretty cool. Other than that, Dark was Dark. I want to talk about, before we get into Dynamite, it's this big thing that's happening, and it got featured on Dynamite, the women's tournament. So I'm excited for this tournament.
Yeah.
I'm pumped. Now, Maria, are you familiar with the Joshi style of wrestling at all? Like, do you anybody from that?
No, because, and Tiffany kind of knows this, that Dennis was kind of putting me on to everything,
right,
and was going to teach me. That was the deal. So I'm still learning. So I think Tiffany has to teach me everything now.
So you'll be able to catch it on Monday. Yeah. So Monday on the YouTube channel, on AEW's YouTube channel, we're going to see the Japan side start. Okay. And I am very excited about this. I know a few of the names. Haven't right. looked up a bunch of them. I'm very excited about one name because as soon as this tournament got announced, her tweet made me say, okay, I'm automatically going for this girl. And I'll put the bracket up. Here we go. So we have the Super 16. Well, now they're calling it something else. It's like they're changing it every time there's a match. Because now it's like something 15 now. It's like Amazing 15. It looks like they're changing that. But anyways, on the Japan side, we got Yuka Sakazaki against I'm going to butcher these names. Mai Tsuruga.
Never mind.
Mai. No.
I know that. Mai
Tsuruga. I'm sorry. I had to.
So the cool thing about the top side of the Japan bracket. So Emi Sakura, she's a veteran, as we know. I mean, she was all in AEW in 2019. They made mention of her a lot of the times. Like, she's a grizzled veteran in the women's division and Joshi wrestling. Her protege is actually Mai Tsuruga. That's her protege. So I'd be interested to see if both of those move on, and then the teacher and the student face each other in the semifinal. That'd be a cool story. In the bottom part, it's Maki Ito. Her tweet was freaking hilarious. So she retweeted the AEW women's tweet, the tournament announcement, and she puts, AEW, I'm coming, motherfuckers.
Oh.
I love it.
Yeah. Love
it. Badass. I'm like,
that's it. That's my pick.
Yep, that was it.
I don't even care who else is in the side. I'm picking her.
Nope.
It's done.
Aja Kong is in it, though. We've seen Aja Kong in 2019 as well. I think everyone was waiting for Aja and Awesome Kong to meet in AEW, but that never kind of came through. But the Japan side, out of a lot of Joshi wrestling fans that I know, looks stacked, and it's going to be a great tournament. And then we have, obviously, the U.S. side. We had Rosa move on. She'll face the winner of next week's match of Serena Deeb and Riho, who's returning. Tay Conti's going to face Nyla Rose. Dr. Britt Baker going to face Anna Jay. I'm pumped.
This is crazy.
I'm pumped.
I'm actually excited to kind of see, because everybody's always like, you got to watch New Japan, but New Japan's on like when I'm sleeping.
Yeah.
So I'm actually kind of excited to see.
Oh, so do you have a Roku device?
The difference.
Uh-oh.
I have Amazon Fire Stick.
There you go. But you can get the Roku.
So they have I forgot to watch it today, but at 5 o'clock today, Eastern, on the Roku channel, they're showing a 1 hour of the New Japan, I guess it's going to be
Wrestle
like
Kingdom, like, I think you said.
They're going to start doing the U.S. show when it gets going. Right now, they're showing replays, so they're showing the replays of Wrestle Kingdom today.
It's a good way to get, people over that don't watch, New Japan, and, I don't stay consistent with New Japan. It's more of, a random that I watch. There's so much, obviously, there's so much wrestling out there. It's impossible to watch, everything, and it's kind of I get torn all over the freaking place. But what I do watch is good, and even, what all these women wrestlers that a lot of them that I'm not familiar with myself, but I've seen, we're friends with people that are big into Stardom, and, just even going through clips on Twitter and watching, some of this Joshi wrestling, and even us being introduced into AEW with some of the Joshi wrestling, it's so different, and it's so good, and I can't wait so we see more of that. It's just great now that we're
Kenny
getting
was boosting tides. It up.
Yeah.
Kenny was tweeting saying, you guys are going to want to watch this. He's vouching that it's going to be some of the awesome wrestling. I'm just curious to see where they taped it over there. What dojo were they in that they taped all this? I don't know if they used Stardom's dojo. Is there a partnership there? If there is, hell yeah. I'm all for that as well. So I'm very curious to see what this turns. I'm excited for Monday to catch that. I know in the chat, I think Kilroy brought it up there that he wishes that the Japan side would be live on Dynamite. I don't think that's possible because of pandemic. Maybe whoever wins the Japan side is going to be flown over, and they're going to do the final, I'm assuming probably at Revolution, but I can't see them doing.
It would be kind of cool to take one of the matches and put it into the slot.
On Dynamite, yeah.
Yes. I think that would be a kind of cool concept, because we know that's coming from Japan, but I would probably, because this is so important, I feel like that it should be on Dynamite, that you should give us maybe one match, or especially into the semifinals, at least give us those matches so we can see. So it gives a taste, because if somebody's not watching the YouTube channel, then at least you could see it on Dynamite.
It just, it's better exposure
on, exactly, on Dynamite, too. I think would be the best way to go about that.
So we'll see. We'll see. Again, we only know that they showed the one U.S. match this week. We're getting the next U.S. match next week. We don't know how many matches they're going to show on Monday. So we may actually eventually get that, which I hope so. We'll see. I kind of would rather see Shaq in the ring. You know, I'm just going to throw it out there.
Or like the 20-minute entrance between Cody and Sting.
Yeah. <that's>
With the never-ending snow.
Who's got the longer entrance, Cody or Sting?
I really wanted to say, I think I was watching Dynamite last night. All I'm thinking is Cody, no matter what, no matter how low key, a high key a show is, the dramatics of his entrance are just always there. It's so dramatic.
He's the Triple H of AEW.
I mean, I'm not saying I don't like it, but yes, he is all the time.
I feel like that it should just be saved for like big pay-per-views or, something.
Somehow it's just,
it takes up too much time, right? And then it's like all the other ones, like I'll get bent out of shape if I don't see Private Party come out with their entrance, because those are my pay-per-view boys.
Forget about it. You got to book him in a 60-minute match because 30 minutes is the entrance.
Yes. But as I was saying, high key, low key, even on Dynamite, regular.
He's
got to
have his whole fight team out there, and you got to hug everybody. And
the AEW still hasn't run out of snow.
How much money? I really wanted to throw that question out there. I wanted to for a fan question. I should have thrown out. How much money do you think Tony Khan spent on snow, or spent on the snow machine? Because Sting has been out here every week since he's been here.
Now, why does he have snow anyway? Like, I don't understand.
Right? It makes no sense.
Did I miss something growing up? Was he, like,
so Maria,
coming out to snow when I was a child? I don't know.
This is funny because I watch AEW every week with Mrs. Masters, and she, the first time she saw Sting, it was exactly her first thing. She goes, okay, so his name is Sting, which is a insect from the desert. Why is there snow?
No. Right, exactly. You know,
I didn't know what to say. I was just like, I don't know. He debuted at Winter is Coming. That's probably why.
Conrad said,
let's just run with it, I guess. Yeah.
Conrad said it's shaved ice.
Shaved, same thing. Whatever. How much money is he spending on that?
We need to tweet at him. We have to ask. We have to tweet at Tony Khan.
He's not going to answer us.
Damn it.
Anyways.
You never know.
Let's get into Dynamite.
All right, let's talk about this.
And we're going to start off because we have a guest here that's a big MJF fan. We're going to start off with the Inner Circle stuff.
Okay, let's do it.
I'm sure I want to hear what she's got to say. So, MJF and Jericho teamed up to face the Acclaimed. We saw, obviously, the Acclaimed music video dissing them. Again, lots of promise in the Acclaimed. So much promise in those guys. I have all the faith in the world they're going to eventually come out as a very over team. Jericho and MJF joined by the Inner Circle, but without Sammy, as we saw what happened earlier tonight. Now, I have a question here, and I'm going to ask it to Maria first. Mm-hmm. So, Maria, we saw what happened earlier tonight. Obviously, you've seen with the whole Sammy and MJF exchange. Sammy thought he was recording, punches him in the gut, even though I thought it was lower. I thought he punched him lower than that. And then MJF kind of comes out with wrapped ribs. I'm going, okay. He punched him. That's very excessive. Now, I read an interesting theory. Here comes the theory, and I want to get your take on it. The theory is that MJF and Sammy are in cahoots with each other, and they're the ones trying to control the Inner Circle together and kick Jericho out.
Wow. I didn't even think about that, Kyle.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
Because, like, the theory goes, like, why would he be bandaged up so, like all like that just from, like, a punch to the gut? And I guess this person seen that there was, like, a little bit of smirking going on. I have to go back and watch between the two while they were, like, arguing with each other. And I'm going, okay, that's kind of an interesting theory. That would be a big swerve.
That would be a really big swerve. I didn't see that coming. I didn't see you saying that at all. I want to see Sammy and MJF go
one-on-one.
Head to head. But that's really good. Holy crap, I'm taken back. This might have changed everything right now.
Man.
I seen that. I'm like, oh, I didn't even think of that either. I'm like, could be the big swerve, because they're obviously pushing us all towards, you know, Sammy leaving now. Like, what if next week, you know, because now Santana and Ortiz have a title match. What if they win the titles and this kind of sends them away?
I think that's where it's going.
And the one thing is, too, they didn't call them. And I mentioned this to Tiff because so now the AEW is working with Impact. Impact. I didn't know. Tiff didn't know. I looked it up. Impact owns the name LAX. They own the tag name.
Right.
They were mentioned and advertised as Santana and Ortiz, not Proud and Powerful. They didn't mention Proud and Powerful at least ever on Dynamite last night. Are they swaying away from that? Is the LAX name coming back? And then I saw another theory on top of that. I saw that AEW is very interested in Zelina Vega right now. As soon as her no-compete clause is done, are they going to bring her in and her be the kind of like chaperone or manager to LAX? Because it kind of fits her style.
It does.
And I'm like, oh my God.
Like who's this person?
This is just wrestling Twitter. You know? This is just wrestling Twitter.
Like, is this a specific person?
No, I sit there literally. Them. I type in the hashtag AEW in wrestling Twitter, and I sit there and read people's theories. I'm like, okay, that's a good one. And I read one, I'm like, yeah, it's not going to happen.
Wow.
Some of them are like, yeah.
Pretty I'm
like,
interesting.
Okay. But I'm just like, damn. But I'm like, now they, and I got me thinking, okay, maybe they can go back to being called LAX. No, Proud and Powerful, they love that. And there's a big history between those two with the name Proud and Powerful. And, you know, they did a whole like deep dive into it when they were first called it. But now that they're allowed to use the name, will they go back to LAX? I'm interested to see.
And now they're working with Impact.
Yeah. Just crazy. Like everything that the crossovers of everything we could possibly get.
So say that these two theories I said don't happen. Say like the MJF thing is actually happening with Sammy. Santana Ortiz now next week. That could be the more of a breakup. If they win the titles,
I feel that's where it's going.
We're seeing more of a split. Seems like Revolution is going to be the kind of conclusion to this whole thing. Possibly. Maybe they kind of string it out to Double or Nothing. Maybe they're hoping by then they could go and travel somewhere with some sort of crowd, because again, we don't know with this pandemic, every day it changes. So I'm very intrigued, but your pal MJF there, definitely very, very evil and conniving if he is the one plotting all this and destroying the inner circle from within. But if this is where they're going and it's not a swerve, Sammy Guevara, my God, like, that was probably the biggest face turn I've ever seen. And yeah. There wasn't a crowd there.
Yeah.
And he blocked him on Twitter too. Yeah. So they took the storyline right to social media. Keep going with it.
I love that they do that sometimes. Like even in the beginning, we were getting a lot of that of like the bloom of AEW that we were seeing a lot of back and forth on Twitter with them. Mm-hmm. So I love sometimes when you get that storyline that continues onto social media. So it's a good way as well.
Your buddy, your pal MJF Scarf has joined the chat there, Maria, by the way.
Hi, Scarf.
He says, Sammy is a petulant child. Oh, my God. Freaking. I can't English today. Oh, my God.
It's okay. I can't English any day.
Anyways, yeah, so this is an interesting story. I'm glad because I've said it for a couple of weeks here on the podcast, Maria, that I needed something else with this inner circle storyline because they keep coming out and it's kind of like they're doing the same things and we're not getting anything out of it.
Yeah, I think it's...
I'm glad we did something this week.
It would be cool like to see your theory, and that would be a good way
not
to
my
get
theory.
Back the inner circle back over, because I think it's starting to like die out with everybody, that we're getting like bored. Me personally, like I want Santa Ortiz to, you know, have their shot to go after the belts, and which, you know, we're going to finally get. So I love them. I would love them with the belts, you know, being a fan of them for a long time. And I've been saying this for the longest that Sammy really needs a run. Like I can definitely see him with the TNT championship belt. Like I would love to see Sammy and Darby go at it and Sammy take the belt. And I can see him going complete babyface now. So is he going to come back in a couple of weeks? And, you know, is he going to be complete babyface? Like, I like your theory. Do I think that theory is going to happen? No, but it would be interesting to, you know, to swerve everybody, right? Because I think everybody's kind of on the same boat as me, thinking that Sammy's going to have this baby run and go this route and make the TNT, you know, go after the TNT championship. That's my thought process after all this is done between him and right. MJF, because that's what it looks like on paper, right? That I think. So it would be an interesting way to run how, you know, that you were just talking about, to swerve everybody. And I'm all for these swerves. And I'm still waiting for MJF and Wardlow to go at it.
Yes. They got to break up soon.
I'm going to assume they have that written down already. Khan's got that in his binder where it's labeled stuff to do when we have crowd again.
I don't even think that needs a crowd.
They have to. You know that they're putting a lot of stuff in the back burner right now, because they, you know, we're around the corner from this happening, and they can't just keep giving out stuff like this with no crowd, because I don't think it feels the same. And I know
we are getting like a little bit of crowd. I know it's not ideal of what, you know, we're used to of the norm, but there is like a little bit of a crowd.
It's mixed in with the fake crowd noise. It's not genuine. You know what I mean? There's a difference between what we're getting now in a packed 18 or what, you know, whatever they're doing, 10 to 14,000 arenas that they were doing before. There's a massive difference. And it's, you know that the crowds the AW have been rowdy. We were at Full Gear, it's a freaking rowdy crowd. The Revolution crowd before the pandemic was a rowdy crowd. There's a big difference between what we're getting, you know. I'll give all the credit in the world to the people that are going there right now and doing their best to cheer loud enough with masks on, and you know, the ringside wrestlers that are, you know, the guns are been like the gems throughout this whole pandemic. Austin, Billy, and the other son, I always forget his damn name.
Yeah.
But they've been the best. They were controlling the Instagram account yesterday. I went and looked at all the stories. Oh my God, was it ever great?
What? The AEW?
Yeah, so they gave, I believe they gave Austin the AEW Instagram account, and they were doing stories all night from ringside, and it was so good.
Nice. Different perspective. That's awesome.
Yeah. Other than that, we'll move on. The beginning Dynamite was actually pretty, like, so I tweeted this out. So Darby and Janela faced each other, and I tweeted out, I'm like, okay, I'm scared for these two, because both these two don't like have a blatant disregard for putting their bodies on the line. Like, they just,
very true.
They will jump off a skyscraper if you tell them to do it. They're like, okay, cool, we'll see how I feel after.
Pretty much.
100%, yes.
So
this is a great match. I love the match.
The match was great. It was awesome. Yeah.
I love Joey's gear. This is like bad boy all over his gear. Like, I just love it.
Yo, his entrance, so if you guys haven't been watching Dark, they've kind of improved on him and Sonny's entrance, because either it's Sonny going one-on-one with someone or it's Joey going one-on-one with someone. They're always coming out together. Either way, Joey comes out and, like, Sonny will do his, like, booty shake on the stage, and, like, Joey just, like, falls backwards and drops down, or, like, goes crazy for the booty shake. Ran over to the announce desk and, like, grabbed Ricky Starks' commentary mic, and he's like, best booty in the game, baby. And Ricky Starks, like, that guy smells like what do you say?
Alcohol.
Something and cigarettes. But this match, it was good, and it was for the TNT Championship, so I love that we're getting, you know, the defense, basically the TV title the AEW has on Dynamite. I mean, Team Taz said they'd be there watching last week, but, you know, I was like going, okay, where you at? I mean, we saw what happened later, but where you at? I was waiting for like them to jump them at any moment, but other than that, they gave them a pretty good alluded time. Great match. They, again, disregard for their bodies. Janela's like suicide dive scares the hell out of me every single time. Darby just, you know, Darby, I think I'm less cringe, because Darby's a skater guy and he's broken every bone in his body to me. And so it's like, you know, he's all right. Joey, I fear for his life.
Okay, he's done that already.
Yeah, he's like, he's
okay.
He jumps off the rope, he broke his arm. Yeah, he did that like 800 times already. He's all right. He just pop it back in. He probably doesn't need to go to the hospital anyways.
That's going to catch up to him like when he hits like 40.
He'll be in a walker, guaranteed. Yeah. He'll have like all the hip replacement surgeries you can ever have in your life by 40.
Yeah.
So I hope he calms down a little bit. Just a little bit. But later on, the kidnap Darby. What's up with AEW and kidnap lately? They're kidnapping everybody. Everyone's kidnapping. It's a thing to do. Marco Stunt got kidnapped, and now Darby's getting kidnapped and put in a body bag and dragged away by
a
car.
Done with this. Like, end the feud already. I'm over it.
Oh, they are. revolution. We just gotta wait.
It needs to end. It's dragging coming. Too long.
No, we have to have four more Sting entrances with as much snow as possible for the next 4 weeks, and then it'll be over.
We want to see how much money Tony Khan's gonna push out on the snow.
And we all know at Revolution, with this cinematic match, you know that Sting's gonna come out and it's gonna be like a blizzard happening.
Yeah.
Oh god.
Some production stage blizzard.
Can you imagine the machine breaks and it's just like nonstop snow?
It's like five snowflakes falling in.
Like New
Keep
York.
Wrestling. Keep going.
Yeah, it's okay. Young Bucks come out, there's still snow, and then they do their pose, and then poof, you know, money blows out, then that breaks too, and then like, you know, there's like continuous
money. Snow, can't see anybody.
Yeah, what if they get confused and switch the two by accident? Like Sting comes out and it's money falling instead
of
snow.
Oh my god, that would be awesome. See, I would love to see that.
That's just done totally on purpose.
And the Bucks come out and like snow shoots at them. They're like, what the heck?
Like the Young Bucks come out with like these guns, like instead of like the money, like the freaking snow. Like
I would love.
They need to do that.
I'm for this.
But at least it was something different this week, Tiff. Every other week with this, it's been, you know, Darby and Sting come to the ring. They get interviewed by Tony. Taz is on the screen. He says something. Nothing happens. That's been the same thing every week. But this week, we at least got something different. Darby got dragged away.
It's the same shit, though.
No, it's
still going on.
It's not the same shit.
It's still Sting.
It's Sting!
I don't care!
It's the icon! The vigilante!
That should not be wrestling!
Oh, God, no. His match is going to be cinematic as all hell. I wouldn't doubt they found a stunt double to look exactly like him.
I hope. If he's got to wrestle, I hope that's the case.
Yeah.
Everybody knows my take on that.
God, well, you know who...
Past your prime.
Well, there's someone else that shouldn't be out in the ring. We'll get to that later when we talk about the main event.
Who else?
We'll
go for it, Kyle. You already brought it up, so let's
go. I'll bring out the main event. We'll talk about the main event. So Omega.
Oh, the main event.
Yeah, oh, damn. We're like going all in. All right.
I told
let's do
you.
It.
You wanted me to go with it. I'll stop.
Let's do it. Because the real star, let's talk about this. The real star of the show last night was the sack of potatoes. That's it. Forget anything else. That was the entire story last night.
That whole kitchen scene was great. I love the kitchen scene.
You know that was like a shot at WWE with catering because that was my instant thought. But no, like the real star is the sack of potatoes.
Okay, so those are some real Idaho. Those are real Idaho potatoes.
Who was it that tweeted at me? It was like, I really want French fries right now. And I was like, yes.
This was an unreal match though. I thought this main event was actually like very good. This is one of the better main events we've had in a while. Like this was so well done using a lot of the environments in the arena, obviously with Avalon's, if you can call that a bed. We found out it wasn't a bed underneath. I don't know what the hell that was. His heart-shaped box, the back kitchen, the announce desk. I just loved seeing Kenta, the IWGP US title, the briefcase all on Dynamite. I mean, it just throws more at you that this partnership is running good. It's taken off now. Like from here on out, we don't know what we're going to get. It's going to be crazy. Obviously, they're going to wait until the pandemic's done and then we can probably get a super show going or whatever they're going to do. I'm so excited for this partnership. It's going to be very good. And again, you don't know who's going to show up on which show we are. Are they going to have a TNT title defended at Wrestle Kingdom next year? Is the U.S. title going to come back and have a U.S. title defense on Dynamite? Like, there's so many possibilities now with New Japan launching their U.S. show. This is going to be great. It's just good exposure for both companies with fans that don't know about each company. It's such a smart business plan, and, you know, thank you, Tony Khan, first and foremost, for being the guy that bring all these three companies together, like Impact, New Japan, and AEW, which gets me to think, what's going on with Ring of Honor?
Well, let's think about it also. I was thinking about that too, but then we still have Triple A, we still have OWE.
Yeah, so I did read today that the Triple A, as they call it, or Triple A, they're in partnership with AEW. That's apparently that's sealed because Kenny's their world champion. And
well, that's not new.
Well, it's official now. They were doing it on a part-time basis before because they were just allowing Kenny to go over there to face.
Is he still the champ over there?
What's his face? Yeah. So, but now they're gonna build on that. Like, apparently, we're about to see more luchadors appear on Dark and Dynamite now. From what I read today, apparently they're really big on introducing more luchadors. So that's gonna be cool.
I can't wait for that Battle of the Belts.
They trademarked. What
like,
the heck?
Just the thought about this. Like, I was talking about this with Anthony last night, and I'm like, just the thought of the possibilities of what we can get. It's
so, Tiff, so who's weird. Anthony for people that don't know? You just said, like, I talked with Anthony last night. Someone watching going, oh, Anthony.
I'll always call him Smark to Death Anthony. So if you guys used to watch Smark to Death, so
Tony. No, there you go. That's who that is. There you go.
Yes, Anthony. I know to Kyle and to a lot of people, like, there are a lot of Anthonys, and then of course you guys know me as Anthony Gangone's my number one husband. But Tony, if a lot of people call him Tony or whatever. So, but we were talking about that last night, the possibilities. Like, man, we should do that as a fan tweet and get people involved. Like, if what would be your card?
Just quickly in the chat, Terrell. Yes, ML. Should. Terrell in the chat. MLW was in that same news article. So they're, because MLW is working with AAA now. They're in talks with MLW as well. I know the official partnership is with AAA, but I believe they're still in talks with MLW as well. Which, if they're trying to introduce more luchadors, you might as well go with MLW too as well.
Yeah.
But anyways, as for, again, the partnership is great. For this match, though, we'll go back to the match. I got to talk about it.
Okay.
Jake Roberts. Don't want to see him out there anymore. After what I've seen this week, come on, man. Like, he, if you guys were watching closely, after he took that, I, for one, I'm like, okay, as soon as I see him doing a spot, I'm like, okay, this is not going to end well. And then, like, if you've seen him crawling on the stage, he was, like, reaching for his puffer. And he was like almost like he was like dying. And like the Rendsburg was checking up on him and his face was like looking shocked. Yeah. Like, hey, like, enough with Jake Roberts, man. He can't.
He needs to stay in the back.
He, every time he comes out
and then walk back.
Exactly. Yeah. The first 3 seconds he comes out on Dynamite, it looks like he's going to blow a gasket. Like, enough. Like, just stay away, please. For your health.
I didn't catch that, but.
Go back and watch and you'll be like, oh, yeah. God. I thought he was reaching for his heart. He was reaching for his freaking puffer.
One day he's going to come out with the snake, Kyle. Don't you know?
No. Like, done. Do backstage promos. Just stay off of TV, please. You're a liability and a half.
Oh, God, Kyle.
I have it on right now, and he is ringside.
Okay, well, when it's late, it's near the end after the Good Brothers come out.
Yeah.
Because, like, he gives a clothesline to, I believe it's Luke Gallows, and then... Or Joey.
Why
or Carly.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
No, April, no. We don't need Jake versus Tully. No.
You must have the paramedics in the ring at the same time if that's going to happen. The paramedics are the referees.
Yeah, I'm just going to say that.
But anyways, Good Brothers came out to help. They assisted. They assisted in the one-winged angel, which was crazy. I can't believe he got the one-winged angel off on Archer. And they had like a Bullet Club type ending. But out of all of this... The guy that stood out the most to me was Lance Archer. I think he had, like, I know he took the pin, but he looked great in all of
dominant.
This.
He looked dominant.
Yeah.
Sure.
And we were missing that for a long time. Like, we were missing, like, when's the last, like, he was coming out in the beginning of COVID during, like, the Dynamites, like, beating the crap out of randos and just, you know, being that dominant guy. And then I believe he took a L at a pay-per-view, I forget against who. I think it was against Cody. He lost to somebody, and then after that, it kind of just, like, crushed his momentum.
Yeah.
And then he kind of picked it back up again. And then he's been kind of stagnant since then. Now this match, they need to kind of just build off this with him. I don't know where they're going to go with him after this.
So good too. Like,
but I thought we would definitely get the world title picture. We don't even have a world title match for Revolution booked yet.
Yeah.
Like, what's going on with that? Are we getting Moxley and Omega again? Like, tell us. I'm shocked that they don't have anything booked to build for the pay-per-view. And I imagine, I'd hope, I said this last week, when I said it on the podcast last week, I was like, okay, I hope in the next couple of days they come out with, like, you know, on their Twitter account, by the way, the Revolution match is going to be this. We're going to start building for it.
How many weeks?
I hope today.
So 1, 2, 3 weeks. We're out 3 weeks. 3 weeks.
And no build for the match.
And we have no build for the title. I mean, I guess we are. I guess that's what it's going towards, is Moxley again. I mean.
Or are we just not going to have a title match, or is it going to be.
No, you can't not have a title match. You just can't not. Yeah,
they don't
one.
Do a pay-per-view every month like yeah. other people. So yeah. he kind of.
No, you have need to. It.
I don't think Moxley's going to be involved because he's going over to. He has a match against Kenta at the end of the month. Okay. At New Japan Strong for the is it on New Japan Strong or is there other pay-per-view for IWGP
right?
US title. So I believe he's going to go there and he's going to have to quarantine after. So I don't think he's going to be at Revolution.
Is this going to be at Japan or is this going to be at the dojo?
No, it's going to be in the
California.
States, but I don't okay. see him being
so
in a title match. I don't see it happening. That's way too much. Like, he's not going to be able to be here. He's going to go now and build this U.S. title match with Kenta.
So who would be in line?
This is what I mean.
Kenny?
I think maybe it's going to be Lance Archer.
Lance? Yeah. It would be a good match.
One-on-one.
Yeah.
It would be a good match.
It would.
I could see that.
So you guys let us know in the chat what you guys think. It's interesting because they did the whole golf course thing on Dynamite. Which was pretty funny.
That was funny with the
blood. Okay, Marvez must have like a portal because he literally like a segment before that, he was in the parking lot with Sammy Guevara. And then all of a sudden it's daytime and he's in the golf course with Kenny Omega. Like, okay.
God, Kyle.
Marvez, you're just everywhere, bud. You're a great reporter.
Oh, jeez.
But that was funny. I laughed at that. Like Kenny putted his shot and you could see in the background like, Cal is putting the ball into the hole and it's like, ah, you got it, Eagle. Good yeah. job, Kenny.
Oh, jeez.
But Kenny's saying, basically saying that Don is looking out for him. Like, he doesn't need to be studying tape for this main event match. And, you know, it kind of, in a way, so he's saying that Cal's taking care of him. It's almost like he's confused and doesn't see that Callus is actually the puppeteer and
right.
Kenny's the puppet. And he's kind of losing sight of that. So I'm assuming when this all comes to fruition, it's going to be like Kenny's going to snap out and figure out that, you know, Callus was controlling him this whole time. And whether
so, I don't know. You got me like thinking because you're like talking about this and you're making me think like, you know, the future, right? And we keep saying like, I still believe that Hangman's going to take this belt off of Kenny.
I think
right?
that's the end goal.
So I think that's the end goal. Obviously, it's not going to be anytime soon. Maybe All Out, maybe long. I don't know. But that would be cool.
That's
like,
a back burner thing. That's one of those things
right,
he
like,
has
I think
in his binder.
It's going to be like
yeah,
one
later
of those
in the
slow,
year.
Yeah. like a slow build. And then I can see Don costing Kenny the Ooh. Title down the line. And like I always say, to make Hangman, like Hangman's already over. We talk about this every week. Hangman's over, right? But it would mean it would be more special for Hangman to take this belt off of Kenny because of the long history from the beginning, right? So it would be kind of cool and maybe there's like a lot. There's like a lot of thoughts going in my head.
You don't want to see though. There's another end goal. So that's like the AEW end goal. But we know deep down for people that follow the story between these two, Ibushi and Omega need to face each other. That's got to happen. And whether it leads to after, like we've seen it with the whole New Japan story with when was it Okada came for the save on Kenny and then. You know, they reunited as the Golden Lovers. We know eventually, now that this partnership just solidifies that, eventually I think we're going to get Kota and Omega verse each other and maybe after the match, like Kota snaps Kenny out of it and maybe we get a goal. I know we're going to get a Golden Lovers reunion again. That's going to happen again, whether it be on New Japan TV or AEW, but now they're working together. It could happen on both.
You know who I'm waiting for to come over? Okay. Jay White, he lives in Florida.
See,
let's go.
That's going to happen because of this whole Bullet Club thing. What they're doing with the teasing, you know that's leading to that Bullet Club versus the Elite over here Bullet Club. That's going to happen.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know when
it's
going to happen.
It's going to be a long, slow build. You know, and that's the nice thing about AEW is that we are getting these build of stories and like long-term booking, which is great. So I love that. Again, like I love when the wrestlers play into social media and that gets also us hype.
Oh, did you see speaking of
it keeps it going.
Yeah. They released a video on AEW's Twitter channel and they did like a New Japan style press conference. With Callus and the Good Brothers and Kenny, and they're basically like making fun of the Bullet Club and they're, you know, saying the name over and over again and basically at the end of the press conference, they're like, hey, you know, make sure everyone here, just go out and get Bullet Club merch. They need the money. Do it. Please buy the Bullet Club merch. I'm
like, they were making fun of the Bullet Club.
Yeah. Yeah. So they're calling like Tonga out and all that. So I think that's leading to it. And Tiff, you were supposed to be in New Jersey. Was it 2020 for Bloody Guts?
I was supposed to be there too.
So Maria was supposed to be there too. That's leading me to think that maybe they're holding that off now for Blood and Guts Bullet Club versus Bullet Club.
Oh my God. That would like they make it up.
They pushed us to September, right?
Yeah, I got pushed to September. I sold my tickets back.
So you guys were supposed to go to that. I was supposed to go to the Rochester one where Brody Lee and Matt Hardy were supposed to make their debut. I was supposed to be there and I was pissed they pushed that. Right now, I think mine's in June right now, they said, but I highly doubt that's even going to happen. It's probably going to be pushed again. But each time Ticketmaster's like, do you want a refund? I'm like, no, just keep it. Yeah, push.
Keep the damn tickets. I'm not going. 2 years from now, we'll be there.
Yeah. When I'm vaccinated, I'm coming. Anywho, Rihu.
You know, I'd also want Yano to come over and wrestle Orange Cassidy.
See, everyone wants to see that. I've seen that all the time. Yano and Orange Cassidy. Those two are like, that'd be the most entertaining gimmick match of all.
Yeah.
Other than that, on Dynamite, because we already talked about the main event, the women's match was really good. The first one in the women's tournament. Legit Layla Hirsch, Thunder Rosa. Rosa basically cut a promo before and they had like the little video package and she's like, you know, I'm coming, I'm going to dominate this tournament. I'm coming for you, Sheeta. I'm coming for Serena Deeb's NWA belt. And I'm coming for you, Britt Baker, you and that big nose of yours.
Oh my goodness.
So she's looking to run through and Rosa's my pick for this side of the tournament. I think it's going to be Rosa and the other girl, MF-er girl on the other side.
Yeah.
What MF-er girl?
The one that tweeted out, like, I'm coming, AEW, you mother.
Okay, from Japan. Okay, yeah.
That's who I'm picking. But this match was good. This was, it was fun. If this has any indication of what the tournament's going to be like, I, like, take all my money kind of thing. again, Kenny was preaching. Yeah. And legit Layla Hirsch is, I think she's growing on everybody every week. I keep seeing on wrestling Twitter week by week, every time she's on, that people are starting to like her more and see that she's actually a good asset in this division. Like she may be small, but she is good in the ring and she has good mat wrestling because of her background. It's a very, very good, it's a very good look for her. And she does transition well. She wrestles good with a lot. She's wrestled with a bunch of people so far and each match has been great with her. So she can transition depending on whatever style it is and keep up with that transition. So that was good. You know, Thunder Rosa is Thunder Rosa. She's great at everything.
Right. She's so good.
I'm excited. Next week, Serena Deeb and the returning Riho.
Oh, yes. Or as we call, Rihu.
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 Yeah, and that's a thing here. When we move on, we go, anywho, Rihu.
Rihu.
It's a shirt. Go check it out, guys. Buy it. Maybe. Whatever you need to do. Anyways, we talk about one long entrance. The other one, Cody Lee. So Cody Rhodes and Lee Johnson, not Cody Lee, faced off against Pretty Peter Avalon and Cesar Bononi. This feud was put together from Dark. There's been a feud between Avalon and Lee Johnson happening. The one crazy thing here is they had Arn Anderson's son at ringside.
Yeah.
Oh my God, does that ever look like him?
Oh my God.
He's his twin.
He's a spitting image of his dad.
Yeah, like, you can never deny his dad. Never.
Nope.
So I was wondering what, because Anderson tweeted out earlier before Dynamite saying like something's happening on Dynamite that's going to change like a part of his career. And they mentioned it on commentary that his son's actually training to be a wrestler. So, okay. Okay, so we got Taz's son trained to be a wrestler. They got Art Anderson's son being trained to be a wrestler. We're going to see the next generation of talent coming into this company eventually.
We see it already, right? Like,
I mean, I can't really, I don't think, what's his name? What's freaking Taz's son? He's got that weird name.
Oh, oh God, I'm so bad at like,
he's got that
I'm
weird
fried
name
today.
I'm like, of course Taz's son is named that. Oh God, why can't I think of it?
Well, Taz's son with the weird name.
So that guy. I didn't catch Arn Anderson's son name. I don't know if they mentioned it, but again, they're currently training. So
Hook,
again, it's crazy.
Hook, right?
Hook,
yeah.
That's it.
Hook. Yeah.
Okay. I'm Captain Hook. Anyways, decent tag team match. Lee Johnson finding his first win in AEW. So, to me, okay, this is going to sound like I'm shitting on this, but I'm not.
I feel like Kyle's going to come on the show with a hook now.
I'm not coming on with Captain Hook.
And a patch. And a patch.
I'm not Captain doing that.
Nah.
Captain Kyle.
Nope. Just going to talk Kyle. About this match. Captain Kyle. So this match, Tiff. Let's talk about this match here.
Why?
I have a problem with this. I got a problem with the ending of this match. So I had no problem with Lee Johnson winning. He was 0-29 and on Dark. You know, like that's a horrible.
Finally
record.
Got a win. He finally got a win.
But I feel like it was overdone. His celebration. Like this guy won one match out of 29. Like and he came up on stage. It was like the guy just won like the beauty pageant. They had everybody out there like hugging each other and you know they're interviewing him and I'm like, hey, like he won a match. Like he's not this like. Like, no one knew about this guy before Dynamite. Why are they making such a big deal out of this win? I was very confused. Like, good for him, but all the theatrics was not needed.
He was 0-29, right?
Yeah, 0-29.
Yeah.
Did they make a big deal about Cutler? No. No.
Well, we did. We made a big deal out of Cutler.
When he got his first win, but no. What's so different with Lee Johnson? You tell me Lee Johnson is a bigger star than Brandon Cutler?
Right.
I felt
I'm
very awkward.
Jake the Snake right now.
Oh, you're gonna see his fall. Yeah. So they cut a promo, but the one thing they pointed out here was that, like, when they were interviewing him, cutting his promo, he mentioned like he was thanking all the Nightmare family team, but he didn't mention QT. And if you look in the background, QT's face was like, "What? Like, he didn't mention me?" So I'm wondering if they're doing something there. It's going to be a weird feud with Lee and QT, but like, I mean, it's not something that you're going to, I got to tune in Dynamite to watch this, but I found it, I don't know why they did that. I don't know if that was on purpose or maybe, you know, QT was just, that was a real reaction. Like, yo, you forgot my name kind of thing.
Like,
yo, did you read your promo backstage?
Hold on. He's crawling on the stage.
Yeah. See? He's like grabbing his heart, and I'm like, is he having a heart attack? Someone check on him.
The ref is just standing there with him. He's just like bent over, not moving.
Yeah.
It is a little too much.
Yeah, like he can't be out there anymore. If you're going to do that, like, just stay in the back.
I didn't catch it before, but now that you mentioned it and it's on, I'm like, whoa.
Yeah.
Other than that, I mean, they kind of furthered the Hangman, and they made a big deal of it. So Hangman and Matt Hardy, this whole thing.
Yeah.
So this is looking like it's going to lead to a match with each other.
So is that going to be at Revolution?
I'm assuming so, because Hardy invited him to this like open bar lounge, and it was all on him. At the bar, you know, after a few drinks, Hardy thinks he can make Hangman the number one guy in AEW. He's like, you know, I'm really here to be your business partner. I can make you the biggest star, make you all the money. All I ask is for 30%. You know, that's Matt Hardy's thing. But, you know, there's also other things in his little fine print, which Hangman was smart enough. Even though he was pissed drunk, he was smart enough. I guess he's grown a tolerance for alcohol because Matt Hardy turns to the camera and says, I want you guys here to watch this contract signing. And as he's doing that, Hangman grabs the contract, throws it over the bar, and pulls out one out of his jacket pocket. And I'm like, oh, ho, ho, ho. Okay. What is Hangman's contract? And he signs it. He makes Matt sign it. And Matt doesn't even look at it. He just puts it in his pocket and goes, okay, you know, good business decision, Hangman. We're going to make you big. We're going to make you a big star. And then he leaves. And then I wonder what Hangman has on that contract. I'm wondering what it
is. That's what we need to find out. That was good, actually.
I'm curious. I'm very curious to see this. And I think that'd be a good
match.
I'm going to
sell his child to him. Next child.
Stop it.
He's got 30% of his next
child. Oh, yeah, I forgot. Like, he's having another kid now? Like, God, like, he's just...
Wait, Matt Hardy's having another kid?
Yeah, they're just pumping out kids.
Hey, the pandemic. What else is there to do?
He's going to pump out at least 8 kids. He's going to put one in each promotion.
Yeah,
how many? They have 3, no? They're about to have 4?
They're about to have 4, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. They want to grow that Hardy compound.
I think it's 2, right now it's, at the moment, it's 2 boys and a girl, I'm almost certain. So we'll see what happens. If you can get another girl, you get 2 and 2, you know, put one in each promotion, you know, do what you got to do.
Nope. Snip, snip.
Or just have like a big family tag team.
There you go. There, he's building the next faction.
He definitely wants to start his own promotion.
Was it King Maxwell and what's the other guy's name? Maxwell, and I forget the other one name. So that's going to be the new Hardy Boys.
Oh, there you go.
Other than that, Pac faced Ryan Nemeth, who's AKA Dolph Ziggler's brother.
Who looks like he's got cotton candy, you know, underwear. But I still think Matt Sydal looks more like Dolph Ziggler, just so you
Really?
Yes, look at Matt Sydal and tell me now, that he does not look like
a little bit
Dolph Ziggler. When I said this, like a lot of people, even a bunch of our fans and even Kyle, they're like, yeah, you're right. Like I have like in like he I swear Matt Sydal looks more like Dolph Ziggler than Ryan does. I'm sorry.
Now I have to look at this and so, I'm going to be like probably mind blown because so, you're probably
now right. You're gonna like you're never gonna unsee this now, like never. You're just not gonna unsee it.
Yep, it's stuck in my head every time I see him. Yep. I always think about Tiff saying that too. But speaking of Ryan Nemeth, do you guys think, are you guys in agreement with his nickname, the Hollywood Hunk? Is he a Hollywood Hunk?
No
you guys don't think so?
No,
he does nothing for me.
Hollywood Hunk. He's not a hunk. That's, I don't know.
I'm good.
You know what's funny though between these two? The Twitter beef between Dolph and him. So
his brother.
Out of this match tonight, so he loses by submission to Pac, and Pac's obviously great. We can talk about Pac all day. Great wrestler.
Husband.
He, apparently Tiff's got an infatuation with him, but Pac, you know, we say it all the time, Pac deserves a world title shot eventually, and he could be a great world champion.
That's what I want to take off Kenny, to be honest with you. I want to see that. I want to see him with
the anyways, AEW. So the horrible screenshot came out of that submission, Tiff. I don't know if you've seen the screenshot of him locking the submission with that horrible, unphotogenic face. Dolph Ziggler screenshotted that and made it his profile pic. And then Ryan went and found a picture of Dolph and WWE when they did like the whole poo angle and him like getting showered with poo and put that as his profile pic. So this Twitter beat between these two, amazing. And like, I think the week before, or was it on Dark, and Dolph tweeted saying, I don't even like Ryan or something like that. And then Ryan's like, don't make me go tell mom.
It's fantastic. Twitter is like.
Yeah, like sometimes you get some really good gems like on Twitter, but oh, geez.
Do you think Dolph gets in trouble for doing that?
He probably don't. Maybe he's looking to get fired, and then he could come over to AEW too.
And they could be the Hollywood Hunks, plural.
I just can't with Dolph. I'm sorry, I just can't. Okay, but anyway, this is a different podcast. But anyway,
I don't know. It's just like I see that. I'm like, okay, like I know they kind of give freedom over there, but it's always like a gray area in that company. Yeah. You never know what they're allowed to do. But I'm loving for it. I'm all for them, doing all that Twitter beef. But next week. Pretty good episode of Dynamite planned. They have Hangman and Hardy and Private Party. So they got Hardy Party and Hangman versus the Hybrid 2 and Chaos Project. So you never know these multiple man tag team matches. Me and Tiff say it all the time. It could go either way. It could go great or it could be horrible because they're not really consistent with their multi-man matches. So we'll see. Young Bucks against Santana and Ortiz with the tag titles. Sure to be a banger. Serena D versus Riho. Again, another banger. FTR against Matt. And Mike Sydal, I didn't even know he had a brother that was wrestling.
I was going to say, who's Mike?
Mike, if you look at the picture, he looks like the biggest stoner I've ever seen in my entire life. He looks like he's one of those out there guys. But Matt has a brother named Mike. So Matt and Mike Sydal against FTR next week. We'll see. And then Sting's going to call out Team Taz, Tiff's favorite segment of the night.
With a bunch of snow.
With a bunch of snow. There's sure to be a blizzard next week in Jacksonville. No matter how hot or cold it is, it will be a blizzard.
God. Help
me. Take all of ours.
Yes, it's gonna be like the jar. We're gonna set up the jar. You guys can, you know, make your bets to see how much Tony Khan spends on snow.
I say it all the time, like Jacksonville, they're all down there like shivering with the heaters and stuff. I'm like, come up to see us.
Yeah,
go to the eastern seaboard there or come to Canada. We'll show you what cold is.
Yup.
Sitting there freezing when it's like
mocking us.
It's like 15 degrees, like, okay, Celsius. I don't know what it is Fahrenheit, but like, God, I suck with the conversion. Tiff, you're going to look it up. What's 15 degrees Celsius to Fahrenheit? Because they think that's cold. Like, they're shivering when it's that cold down there. And I know because it's usually really hot every other day there. What is it?
Fahrenheit or Fahrenheit?
No, 15 Celsius to Fahrenheit.
Oh, okay, 15.
I know, you guys are weird down there.
Sorry, I don't know your stuff. 59.
So they think 59 is cold.
That's not cold. Come over here. We go into single
digits. Over here.
I'm walking here.
I always make fun of Tiff's New York accent. When I came to visit her.
Who the fuck says that in New York? Walking here. Like, he really thinks that I fucking heard. That's like a Staten Island
thing, though, right?
Like, no, I don't. It's not a New York thing. Who the fuck says that? Nobody.
So I came to visit Tiff. Was it 2019 WrestleMania weekend? We went to G1 and all that stuff and TakeOver. And every time we were out in public walking, I was like, I'm walking here.
Says that
I
like,
do.
Like yeah, you weirdo.
Where
like,
did that come from, though?
I don't know.
Like, how is that New York accent?
I love that, like that people think that, especially like Kyle, like he thinks like that New Yorkers are like the worst, and New Yorkers are this, and New Yorkers say things like that.
I don't think you're just, the
like,
worst.
The craziest thing. Well, I've heard like, oh, you have to put money in your sock because someone's gonna steal it from you. Like what?
Ew.
Like
that's what? Gross. You go into a store, you pull that out, and it's like all sweaty. Anyways, yeah, that was a good weekend. But hopefully, in the future, we do get to do more stuff together because obviously, pandemic sucks. And it was cool. Like, I mean, we were like full gear was such a good weekend too when we went down. Even though like Baltimore's a scary place. Other than that, the weekend was fun. Mm-hmm. Staying in the hotel the wrestlers were at was cool, Tiff, and like going to Starcast and doing all that stuff and experiencing the pay per view. It was just it's awesome. And I hope eventually, like when this all comes, you know, we get out back to normal, we get to do that again. But other than that, that's it for Dynamite. It's going to be an exciting episode next week, as always. That is your AEW basically everything review. We are here with Maria Rose. Thank you, Maria, for coming on today. You are a gem.
Thank you for having me.
Hopefully MJF treats you well in the future, too. Hopefully gives you a nice little shout-out, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe sends you a V-Day card. Maybe there's a V-Day card in the mail for you.
Yeah.
Coming in.
I'm still waiting for mine.
Yeah. For me or MJF?
Anybody. Okay. For Trent, husband, or Pac.
He said for anybody.
Anybody.
I'll send you a virtual one.
Aww.
And a man.
Yeah. Yay.
And a what?
I heart you.
Oh, God. Yikes.
I didn't think I could do it. Oh, I did it.
I don't know. Can I do that? Oh, I'm not even going to try that. I don't like my hands. Nope, not happening. Anywho, Rehu. That is going to wrap it up, guys. Thank you very much for tuning in live. If you're watching live on YouTube, Facebook, or Twitch, or Twitter, thank you for tuning in live. If you're coming back to watch back the YouTube version, thank you for watching back. If you're an audio podcast downloader, thank you very much for downloading the episode each and every single week. You guys mean the world to us, so thank you very much for doing so. It helps me and Tiff continue on and do this podcast and include third guests and, you know, keep on grinding each and every single Thursday night here on YouTube and everywhere else. So thank you very much for listening. Leave us down your comments too after on YouTube. If you guys have any suggestions, make sure you're subscribing to our Patreon page. I totally forgot about that, Tiff. Our No Holds Barred Network Patreon page. We have a lot of cool content on there. Me and Tiff do a podcast on there called Free For All. I don't know if Maria would ever want to join us on there. You see a different side to me and Tiff. We don't talk wrestling. We talk about everything from pop culture to...
I would love to join you on there.
Yes. We're gonna make it happen.
We'll get you on there. We talk about everything. Like the last episode we had Tiff's indie friend Casey Cattell on, and it was so much fun. We just talked about random stuff. We talked about her creepy DMs. We talked about...
Oh, my God. Let's go.
Yes, Maria is like me, where she is like another queen like me that gets like the million wacko messages. And like Kyle heard me Kyle were playing Fortnite earlier. And what did the guy fucking say to me?
I was like, I hope you're mine eventually.
No. What something the hell like did he say to me? He was like, oh, do I even have a chance or some that's shit? It. Like, yeah. Like, how do you open a message like that?
Anywho, subscribe to the Patreon page. Again, $1, just $1 a month. You get all that content. You get those podcast content. I put gaming content on there. Me and Tiff are working on a coffee podcast that we used to do back in the day, which me and Tiff will order a bunch of different flavored K-Cups from around the world and try them live on a video podcast. It's had great success in the past. We had rave reviews for it, so we're going to bring it back to the Patreon page. So make sure you guys are subscribing. Patreon.com/NoHoldsBarredNetwork to check it out. and to check out the Free For All podcast. So again, we're gonna have Maria now on for that future podcast whenever that happens. So make sure you are subscribed.
Yeah, please.
Other than that, that's gonna do it, guys. I'm your self-proclaimed greatest host as always. I am Kyle Masters, always joined by my co-host. She's EVP Giggles, the heartbreak chick, the queen of the indies herself. That's Tiffany, and that's Maria Rose. Thank you for coming on, Maria. Make sure you guys go follow her. Follow her on Twitter. I put the Twitter link down in the description below on YouTube. It'll be on Twitter as well, so make sure you go over to the Twitter account. Follow us at All Elite Pod. Like us on Facebook. Like us on Instagram. Again, all links, YouTube description below. It's all there for you guys. The link tree's there. We'll see you guys here right back here next week on Thursday night live on YouTube, Twitch, Periscope, Facebook, everywhere for the next episode of the All Elite Podcast. Take it easy.